Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thine own anointed one behold thee face to face. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the 10th chapter, verses 22 through 42. John 10, verses 22 through 42. But first we'll read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Jesus answered him, saying, The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Bill Auerkirk, who has to receive surgery. It was not last week, but it is, the Lord willing, this week, Tuesday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. All-knowing, all-sufficient, almighty, God of the heavens and also of the earth, who does sit amongst the cherubims, who does sit upon thy throne of glory, who art high, who art exalted in thy majesty, but who sayest that thou beholdest the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. And then thou also knowest all that is living in the hearts of each and every one of us in this morning hour. We may come again together in thy house of prayer, and thou still sparest us and givest us this opportunity. But it is now a special Sabbath day, because thou hast commanded thy church to do this until that thou dost come again, to set the tokens of thy suffering and death before the face of thy church, that they may partake thereof, and that they may receive encouragement and strength upon the journey which is here below. And then, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of thy own in this morning hour. For so oftentimes do their hearts tremble. For there are so often so many questions and so many riddles that they do not know how to solve. And they are not able to put everything together. But in this morning hour, could it please thee to look upon the poor? And thou dost say that to the poor the gospel is preached. Oh, that thou may remember then those poor that have in this morning nothing from themselves to present to thee. but all iniquity and sin that lives within, and that was from Father Adam, and that continues in son me, O Lord. Then that mountain that can by times be so high, and that gulf that can be by times so deep, that people cannot see except that thou would open something of thy beloved Son. Oh, then it is necessary for the first time, but then it is necessary also by renewal. And because it is still a life here below, and it is still a life wherein that old man, he so often, he has the upper hand, it seems. Oh, Lord, then it is necessary that thy face should shine upon thy people, that thou may look through the windows, and that that people may be given to see thee in thy beauty, and that they may be given to see a little of the greatness of the power of that blood and of that broken body. That they may be able to see a little of the fruit that is within their own life that thou dost give, that it may be clear unto them that it is thy own work, and that thou would bring them, that thou may bring them again as wandering sheep who have again, since last time, though vows were upon them, they have broken it all, and they have left thee days without number, and they have wandered under every green tree, and unto every grove playing the harlot. O Lord, wilt thou look upon thy people? O thou art able in this morning to overcome all that does stand in the way for those for whom it seems an impossibility. O Lord, wilt thou stand and on the right and on the left of thy servant to speak in this morning a word that is fitting for thy true people, and that thou may draw them, but that thou may also watch over and protect thy table. Lord, that thou may keep away and that which does not belong. For we are deceivers of ourselves by nature, but wilt thou thyself watch over us? And when we do mistake for our own soul, that thou may open in this morning our eyes, that we may be given to see for the first time in our life, and that we may have to smite upon our breast and cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, could it please thee to look upon us as a congregation? O thou dost say, and that it is a remnant, and that it is a small part of the multitude, but it is also that part which is worthy in themselves to be cut off and to be cast away. And thou dost cut them off, and thou dost graft them in, and thou dost make them thy own. But remember us all together, because each have a soul and we travel to that great eternity. Oh, could it please thee, when we know nothing of those matters which are necessary to be known in order to partake of this supper. Oh, that in this morning hour, that thy arrow may strike our hearts, and that we may be given true conviction of our sin. Oh, that we may be convinced in this morning of the preciousness of the blessings that thou dost bestow upon thy people. And oh, that that blessed choice in this morning by thy Spirit may be born in the hearts of many, and that our hearts may be drawn unto thee, and that we might be given to leave our old life, and that we may be given to seek a new life a life that is to be found in Thee by Thy only begotten Son. O Lord, we beseech it of Thee. It is from our side so undeserved, and from our side it is so impossible. But look upon young and old, the children. O Lord, Thou knowest also them, that it is not possible that they do come forth to this table. But it is possible that there are those among them, among our youth, among our children, in whom that substance does lie. And if that is so, Lord, in this morning hour, oh, could it please Thee to feed them in their places, and that Thou may lead them from step to step unto Zion. And wilt Thou so look on us, oh, that Thou would take each one of us by heart and by hand, and wilt Thou increase the number of Thy Zion in our midst. Oh, that our labors also in this place may be blessed, may be sanctified for the welfare of each and every one, and that this hour may never testify against us in that great day of days. Oh, could it please Thee that Thy face would shine upon us in this morning. Oh, that we may feel something of Thy Spirit. Oh, we do confess it time after time. I believe in the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, in this morning, we are so dependent upon Thy Holy Spirit. And Thou art ascended on high. Thou art received into that glory that was due unto Thee, and of which Thou art so worthy. But with Thy Godhead, with Thy majesty, and with Thy grace and Thy Spirit, Thou dost say that Thou art in no time absent from Thy church. Oh, that it may be felt in this morning hour by Thy servant, that we may receive the unction of Thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure. Oh, that it may in this morning be confirmed unto us that it is not us who have run, but it is Thee who has sent. And that it may be confirmed also in the life of Thy people that it is not them who have chosen, but it is Thee who has chosen and called them, and that Thou hast brought them forth unto that new life. O Lord, remember us then. O look on us all together, and that we may feel that Thy presence and Thy nearness was in our midst. Wilt Thou forgive and take away all that is sinful? Remember those that are not able to gather with us. Care for them and give them a Sabbath day's blessing. O, we lay before Thee also him that is to receive surgery in the week to come. Oh, that Thou may watch over and protect him, and wilt Thou give the doctors wisdom and skill. Watch over and keep their hands, and wilt Thou Thyself bring him through and spare his life for his wife, for his children and family, for us as a congregation. And could it please Thee to bless those means for his welfare? And may it be for his own soul also. Look on us then all together, forgiving all that is sinful and keeping us from all sin. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek Thy face within Thy holy house once more to see in Thy glorious grace. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 163. Thank you. believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. What was a congregation that those Jews did not believe? How long makest us, dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. How, congregation, our eyes need to be opened. How our eyes need to be opened for God. How our eyes need to be opened for ourselves, for that relation that is between us and God. Oh, how our eyes need to be opened for that blessed mediator, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there now place made for him within your heart, within your life? Whose work is that? That is now the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Abraham heard that voice of the Lord. Did you ever hear it too? Abraham heard that voice calling, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will tell thee of. And he followed that voice, even though that we read he did not know whither that he went. And then he heard that voice again. It was a voice of the command of the Lord. Oh, do we ever hear his voice in his holy commandments? Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And then he followed. Oh, do we also follow that we may hear that voice of the Lord in the commandments of the Lord? Then he may hear that voice again. Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And then the ram, caught in a thicket, went for Abraham, and then it went only toward death. But now that lamb provided by the Lord, oh, the Lord, he makes his people so willing in the day of his power. And then they are ready to sacrifice, yes, but the Lord cannot receive a sacrifice from them. No, from them that sacrifice is insufficient, and it is faith. It is faith that is taught to look to another sacrifice, as Abraham was taught to look. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Was faith ever so taught, congregation, to look unto that lamb? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and they learn to recognize that voice. Oh, it is a voice that is defending the poor. It is a voice that is helping the needy. And it is a voice that they learn to recognize. They say, it is the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And then they recognize that voice, and they follow him. And with the Lord's help in this morning, we wish for this special occasion to consider together in the next few verses, John 10, verses 28 through verse 30. John 10, 28, 29, and 30. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So far, the words of our text. Christ assures his church of eternal life. First, the substance of this assurance, and second, and the foundation of this assurance. Christ assures his church of eternal life. First, the substance. Second, the foundation of this assurance. Congregation, the Lord Jesus, he says, ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How is it now with us? Are there people who are now grieved because you say, I am not of his sheep? Or is there people that then have gone upon their knees? Is there people that have sought their inner chamber and to say, Lord, oh, if I also, whether we are a child, whether we are young, whether we are old, O Lord, could it be that I also may become one of thy sheep? The Lord Jesus in our text, then he is laying out the great benefits, laying out the great privileges of those sheep. Oh, that those privileges that we may hear of, those privileges that we may see in this day, if we must confess we are still on the outside of this, oh, that those privileges, that they may make our hearts to burn, and that we also may receive this blessing. I give unto them eternal life. Congregation, in a little while, then there will be a people who will be invited unto that holy table of the Lord. And when the Lord will give it, there will be a people who will come forth unto that holy supper. And now, how is it with that people? Oh, that is not a people who have merited anything. No, there is not a single merit in one of that people. It is exactly the opposite. No, they have forfeited everything from their own side. Oh, sin has made a separation and between God and their soul. And yet, you say they have something, and you are so right. Oh, they have something, and what is now the reason that they have it? The only reason that they have it is because it was given to them. It is because the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them. Oh, then it is a free gift. Oh, be assured in your hearts that it is a gift that is so perfectly free, and that people, they have done absolutely nothing from their own side except for sinning against all the reasons why that the Lord should give it unto them. It has to be free. Oh, it has to be free. Why? Because that people, they are so poor. Because that people, their righteousnesses even, they are all as filthy rags. I give unto them. Is that not a great wonder? It always was free. It is free. It shall always be free. Because it is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Do you want it too? Oh, do you want it too? Is that what you say in this morning hour? You do not need to earn it, congregation. Oh, there is nothing. And there is nothing that the people have done to earn it. Oh, it only needs to be asked for. That is now what the Lord Jesus says. Do you want it too? Oh, and then will you not then ask the Lord if he will give it unto you? I give unto them. And no, they have not earned it. But the benefit that is so great that it is above every benefit that can be perceived in this world. Because what now is it? And that the Lord is giving unto them. We read, I give unto them eternal life. Oh, what is now of more value than our life? Children, young people, what is now more valuable than your life? Even the devil said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Is that not the truth? Of all the things that you possess in the world. But if you would not have to lose your life, and one would say, but you must let all that go, and then you may have your life. Then you would choose what? Oh, then you would choose life over death. Because that is now the greatest possession that you may have in this world, life. But when we are dead, the dead know not anything. And the dead, they have no desire for life. And so that is now also with that spiritual life. Oh, what is now of a greater value in this whole world? Than that spiritual life. But when we are dead, we do not see it. Oh, the dead do not know anything. But when the Lord makes us to be alive, oh, then that is now the most precious thing that our eyes do see, do behold, do desire. Because when a man is made alive, that he is desiring to flee from that city of destruction, then he is crying out, life, life, eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Oh, what is that? Eternal life. That is life that has no end. Oh, you say none of our lives will end. And that is true. None of our lives will end. Yes, our body will die for a little while, and then it will be raised again from its short sleep. But our soul, no, that will not die. No, for we are created immortal. An immortal soul that is different than the beast, that is to live forever. Is that then eternal life? No. No, that is not what the scriptures now call eternal life. But the scriptures, they call that continuance for so many in this world, just the opposite. That is called an eternal death. What shall that be when we miss congregation, eternal life? Then it will be an eternal death. Then it will be a wishing to die and not to be able to die. Then it will be a wishing that our life could be extinguished, that it could be done away, that we could be annihilated. But it shall not be. No, that is an eternal death. That is a death. What is death? That is separation. That is separation from God. Do you feel it? Oh, that is the way we are born. Separated, our soul separated from God. Oh, do you feel it? Is that now a burden to you? That is death. But it is not yet eternal death. What is now eternal death? Oh, that is that separation continued. That is that separation continued forever and forever. Complete separation, no. Not complete separation. It is not separation from his existence. It is separation from his favor. Oh, it is not separation from his wrath. It is not separation from his punishment. But it is separation from the blessedness of his communion. And it will be more separation than we even experience today, because today we still experience the common goodness. But then the common goodness also shall be taken away. Oh, what shall that be? To live forever an eternal death. I give unto them eternal life. Oh, what is that? That is the opposite. Eternal life. That is a life in the blessed favor, in the blessed communion with God our Maker, whom we were created to worship, whom we are created to serve. Oh, our very being, in that spirituality of our being, that is a being that is fulfilled, that receives its fulfillment only in worship. And so we see men in this world, each one looking, who now is my Maker? Who now is my Creator? Is it the sun? Is it the moon? Is it this world? Is it the trees? Is it all children? Poor people. Who now is your Maker? Oh, eternal life. What is that? That is now to dwell in that eternal presence and communion of my Maker. Oh, is that not a blessedness? There is a people that experience something of that communion just by moments here below. And then they get a little piece of it. Do you know what the psalmist says? He says, oh, the blessedness of long ago makes worse still my present woe. He missed it. He missed what he felt in his youth. He missed what he could not miss. Oh, the favor. He experienced it when he was young. He experienced it in the beginning of that new life. Oh, that favor of the Lord. Oh, is that now a favor that your heart desires? Is that now a favor that your heart is longing for? Christ, he says, I give unto them eternal life. He does not say, I will give it. He says, I do give it, thus they may experience that eternal life in those few small moments, that the Spirit of the Lord may give that life to burn in their soul, thus they have it, yes, they have it in the bud, but then will be the flower. They have it in the beginning, but there will be perfection. Oh, they have it in grace. But there will be glory. I give unto them eternal life. In Lord's Day 7, we read what is then necessary for a Christian to believe. And what is the answer? All things that are promised unto us in the gospel, in which the articles of our Catholic Christian faith do briefly teach us. Oh, what is it? And what is it comprehended? It is the gospel. I give unto them eternal life. That is the promise of the gospel. It is not just conditional. No, it is an unconditional promise of the gospel unto that sheep. And it contains everything that is promised in that gospel. What is that? Life. Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How many times does not that church fear to perish, even though they have eternal life. Oh, our natural life that is so sure. That is so sure. No, not from our side. That is unsure from our side. We do not know what this day will bring forth. But it is sure from the side of the Lord. Because He knows the day of our birth. And He knows the day of our death. How sure now is that spiritual life? That is also sure from the side of the Lord. But it is not sure from the side of the people. That is why it is now necessary that the Lord is giving an assurance unto that people. And to say unto them, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Where is the church? The church that is in the hand, all that is carried in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the great shepherd of His sheep, oh, then there is a special care that He is taking of those sheep. But there are now enemies. There are enemies that have a desire, if they could, that they will pluck that church out of that hand of Christ. What did the Lord say to Satan? He said to Satan, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All that is the church. And now that church has an enemy. And it is a triple-headed enemy. Sin, Satan, and this world. And then often they fear. Often they fear. Why? They fear that they will be like Orpah. Oh, that when the choice is really there, and when they have to go through the trial, then they fear that their heart that has never made really that good choice, then they fear that world that they feel pulling on that heart, oh, that world is going to pull stronger and then they have ever felt it from the Lord. Oh, they fear that they are going to go back again. Oh, they fear the temptations of the prince of darkness. Because those temptations, they meet something. They meet the corruption that is living in their own heart. And what do they fear? Oh, one day. Yes, the Lord, He has kept me to this moment. But one day I fear. I am going to fall. All the weakness. I have no strength in myself. And now I fear. And that I am now going to fall into sin. Oh, I fear. That I will even perhaps fall into that unpardonable sin. Oh, I fear that the Lord is going to have to withdraw from me. Why? Because when I see my life, and then I crucify, I fear that Son of God afresh every day again. Oh, congregation, the fears, the hypocrite, he is taking all the promises out of the Word of God, and he is applying them to his heart. And you know what that people do? That are made so honest and so upright with themselves. Oh, then they are taking. And they see those curses. And they say, now those curses I fear. Oh, I fear in the end. And though I cannot deny the things that have taken place in my heart. Oh, I fear in the end. That those curses, they shall be applied unto me. Why? Because I deserve them. Oh, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. And indeed, oh, if the Lord would leave that people. If He would leave that people for one moment, then they would sin themselves on the outside of it time and time again. But what is now the Lord Jesus Christ say? As that great shepherd of His sheep, He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, that is a free gift.
he says, that is not going to be lost. Therefore, the apostle, he says, kept, all kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But that brings us to our second thought, the foundation of this assurance. What is the great difference, congregation, between the words of the Pharisees and the scribes and the words of the Lord Jesus? Do you know that, boys and girls? We can read it in the Word of God. Even the enemy had to confess it. His word is with power. That is, he speaks with authority, we read, and not as the scribes. And now in Christ, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he speaks with authority. Where does he get that authority from? It is not from himself. No, he gets that authority from his Father. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My Father gave them me. Thus that flock that was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ by his Father. Thus they are not only the sheep of Christ, but they are the children of the Father. They are elected of the Father from that never begun eternity. Thus, they are under the special care of the Father, because it is the Father who will have a people unto himself. And this flock, we read, he has given unto Christ. My Father gave them me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. When did he do that? He did that already in eternity. Oh, it was so sure already. From eternity, for every one of those sheep, because they were given already unto the Lord Jesus Christ in a covenant of redemption before that this world was. My Father gave them me. All they were given unto him as a reward. They were given unto him as a reward for his active, for his passive obedience. They were entrusted. They were entrusted unto the Son of God. That he may do what? That he may bring them back unto the Father. Because we read that there is a time that the Lord Jesus, he is going to deliver up again the kingdom unto his Father. My Father gave them me. What now will the Son do for them? He will pray for them. He says, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. Oh, my Father gave them me. And what shall now Christ do for that people? He will send out that Spirit of the Lord. That Spirit of the Lord may draw them in the time. All that the Father giveth me, shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Or what shall he do for them? He shall manifest unto that people the name of his Father. I have manifested thy name unto those whom thou hast given me. Or what will he do for that people? He will give unto them eternal life, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life unto as many as thou hast given him. My Father gave them me. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. There is no greater power than the power of God. No greater power in the heavens. No greater power in the earth. No greater power under the earth. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Oh, that church is in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that church is in the hand also of the Father. Oh, election, that is congregation in unchangeable decree of the Lord. Oh, who is then able to touch the sheep of Christ and the children of the Father? Is Satan greater than God? Oh, shall the kingdom of Satan prevail and the life of the people of the Lord over the kingdom of God? And though that people are fraught with fears, oh, there is not a single power that is able to rise up and that is able to contend with the power of the Father. My Father is greater than all. Oh, who then? Who shall presume and who shall be able to pluck that church out of the hand of Christ and his Father, who is unchangeable in his purpose, who is almighty in his power? I, he says, I and my Father are one. Thus the power of Christ to keep that church, that is the power of the Father. The power of Christ to keep that church in his hand, that is the power of the Father. To keep that church in his hand, they are one. The Son, yes, distinct from the Father, but one with the Father in essence. And if one in essence, one in will, one in power, and one in that work which their hand is set out to do. Therefore, the Father, he has entrusted that church unto his Son. He has given them, his flock, into the hand of his Son, that he may keep them, and that they would never perish. But when the Lord Jesus was going to ascend unto his Father, then it was the Son who delivered that church, as it were, into the safe keeping of the Father. And now he says, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name them whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I and my Father are one. O congregation, how safe. How safe now is that flock of God. Oh, how safe are the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ who are under the care of the great shepherd and his Father. That is a wonder for that people, because they cannot take care of themselves. No, they cannot bring themselves into that flock. They cannot make themselves one of that flock. And when they are in that flock, they cannot keep themselves there. No one moment left to ourselves. And then we will say, I do not know the man, with cursing and with swearing. That is the true people of the Lord. And yet, safe. Safe in the hands of the great shepherd and his Father, and now the Son. Now the Son, he will give tokens of that safety. And he will show that church how safe that they are amidst all the fears of their heart. And that is now the reason that he has set forth those tokens in the life of that people. And that is now the reason that he says to that people who are fraught with fears, who have not known the assurance of faith, but who have only the beginning, and who he has to say, oh, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And therefore, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper of the Lord, which can be found on page 66 or 136 in the back of your Psalter. Or is it page 60? Page 60 or 136, I believe. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary first rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God. Considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, and that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. Those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives, all these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, and whereby he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, and that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, and that we might never be confounded, and that he was innocently condemned to death, and that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, and that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, and that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, and when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, and that whereas you should have otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross, and shed my blood for you, and has certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love. For Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another, here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee, and that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more, with true confidence, give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us, and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. And while the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 218, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. O Thou great Shepherd of Thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock Thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal Thy face. Before our host, now let Thy might appear. Come Thou, O God, to save us and restore. We shall be saved when shines Thy face once more. 1, 5, and 6 of Psalter 218. Congregation, we come to once again that moment wherein that obedience of the church is required by the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. And then it can be so difficult, of that we are no stranger, because how is it now between God and our own soul? But the Lord, he also gives direction in his holy word when he has made all things ready and when he does invite his church unto his table. Also direction concerning who that true church is. And then he asks, are there those that are not strangers of that which he says, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Thus, was that ever in your life, that you came under that all-seeing eye of God, I know them. If the Lord, he comes in our life, and he stops us in our mad career, then we will know that the Lord knows right where we are. Oh, then our heart will know that there is a God in heaven. And then our heart will know that that God, he knows where I am as I am walking over this world in rebellion against him. Oh, I know them. And they shall know that I know them. And they hear my voice. Oh, and did the voice ever of the Lord ever sound in your ears? And that has sounded to Abraham, get thee from thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, to a land that I will tell thee of. A voice that was calling unto you, and that you would forsake the world, and every former friend. Oh, was that voice ever so gently heard to allure your heart with the love of God? Samuel, a Samuel. And was that voice ever heard that would draw your heart to leave the Moab of this world, and that you would confess, even as Ruth of old, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. My sheep, and they hear my voice, they hear the voice also of that law. Oh, maybe that is now the voice, and that you hear in these moments, the voice of that law. They are not strangers of that voice. It is a demanding voice. It is a voice that says, do this, and thou shalt live. It is a voice that says, pay now what thou owest. It is a voice that brings a person into such a place that he cannot deliver himself. Oh, did you ever hear that voice? Did you ever hear the curses of that voice of the law? Oh, every one of that curses directed to your own soul. And yet, oh, at the same time, and that blessed voice calling, that blessed voice drawing your heart after the true and the living God. And then, oh, did you ever hear the voice of the Son? Oh, you say, that is a high thing. Then we will come a little lower. Oh, did you never ever hear even of that Son through the bride? Oh, when the bride may speak of him, and that you may hear of him through the lattice of the word. And when that bride may say unto you, when you say, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? That you, that the bride you have heard him say, oh, my beloved, he is white and ruddy. He is chiefest among 10,000. Oh, his head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy, black as a raven. his eyes, and they are as the eyes of doves, and by the rivers of water, fitly set, washed with milk. Oh, his mouth that is most sweet. He is altogether lovely, so that your heart began to go out after that bridegroom, that you began to ask after him, and that it began to burn after him, saying, oh, whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? Oh, is there yet a people? Are there yet those who are not able to deny that they are not strangers of the voice of that Son of God, and that may be given to say, my hope is on Jehovah stayed with him. My heart is joyful made, then there is place. Oh, then there is place that he says, do this in remembrance of me. Congregation, are there then no more in our midst that may make and must make such a confession in this morning hour? Who is it between? The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is between God and our soul. And then what a wonder that was when the voice of the Lord was heard by such a one as a Saul of Tarsus, to bring him on the ground. And then all the people, they were afraid of him. And then Barnabas, he brought him to them and says, you don't have to be afraid of him. Oh, why not? Because he is one of the true church. He is one of those that has heard the voice of the Lord. And what a wonder that was to that people, such a man. Oh, are there those then? There is still place. Otherwise, we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. drink ye all of it. And I give unto them eternal life. What a free gift. And it is a wonder that we may give that token to each one of you. And a wonder that we may receive a little bit also ourselves. And I give unto them eternal life. And if he will give it, then it is necessary that he is able to give it. That it is his to give. And then it is necessary first that he have the right to give it. And it is necessary, secondly, that he have power to give it. It is necessary that he wants to give it. That he is willing to give it. And I give unto them eternal life. Where does the right come from? That he may give to them eternal life. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Oh, there we see the tokens that he has given to his church, that he may know that he has the right to give unto us eternal life. He has the right to do it. Why? He says, because he gives his life for the sheep. Because he breaks his body. And because he pours out his blood. And now he has a right. What a price. Oh, what a price that he has paid in order that he may give unto us eternal life. He has given himself even unto death. And now he has a right. That blood he also takes with him. That is not only here, but he takes it with him. And those hands which have shown, and he has shown to his disciples, that they may be confirmed, he also takes with him. Where does he take it? He takes it to his Father. And there he shows his Father that he has a right. And he demands it, that the Father would give unto him what he has promised him. And what is that? That is the flock. my Father gave to me. And here is now the right that he has to demand that flock out of the hand of his Father. That is a right that shall always remain, that is, to all eternity. But he needs not only the right, but he also has to have the power. We have no rights, and we have no power, no right to life, and no power to give ourselves life, not in the beginning, not in this week. But he has the right, and he has also the power. Therefore, he says, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No, it is not only a right, but there is also power. When we have no power, and it is a power that comes from his Father, it is a commandment that comes from his Father, because it is a sheep that is given to him by his Father. And therefore he has taken life for himself, raised himself from the grave, and he will give life unto his people. I give unto them eternal life, and not only in the life in its beginnings, but if the Lord will give it, then we hope to see it further this evening, or also that eternal life. Then he has power to raise himself up from the dead. He has power to raise his people also, that he may give them life, that is everlasting life. Oh, he has a right to it. And he has a right to give to us these tokens. And he has the power to do it. And not only the right and the power, but he also wants to do it. He also desires to do it. And that is now the love that also may be seen in these tokens. There is the right. Oh, there is the power, and there is also the love. Oh, to break, we may break each little piece. And that is now the awful picture of his broken body. And that he has the desire to do this. What does he say? He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for my sheep. Oh, they shall never perish. Do you think to perish? Oh, sometimes we think to perish because that enemy is so, so very strong. The world, the temptations of the world, the devil, the accusations of the devil. He says, look at your life, and you have no rights. And you have sinned it all away. And you have sinned even against received grace. And now, what about the way of holiness? And shall such a one come into the presence of such a holy God? Oh, how often do we not fear to perish? But he says, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, he set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem. He was no hireling. He was the good shepherd. And that wolf, oh, that wolf, you know that wolf? That wolf that comes to make you fear. And that in the end, with all that has taken place, in the end, it shall go ill with me when I'm laying on my deathbed. Then it'll all be gone. And then I cannot meet that maker anymore. And everything that I have said to my neighbors and everything that I have said to my friends. And I'll have to take it all back. And then I shall perish. And that wolf, oh, that wolf, he has met him. And he did not, as an hireling, flee away. No, but he has set his face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. And he has met the wolf. And when all his people were there, he said to that wolf, he said, if therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way. And therefore, no, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? Because there is now a blessed union. What does he say? Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. God is one, blessed union. What does he say? He says, I and my Father are one. Blessed Trinity. Now what does he say? He says, other sheep I have, them also must I bring. Oh, then that sheep, he is the good shepherd of that sheep. Thus there is a union between him and that sheep. And when there is a union between the great shepherd and the sheep, then there is a union, or a blessed union, between that sheep and the Father again. And so that sheep may receive that blessed desire that was planted in their heart in that day, that that voice was heard thus far and no further, and that desire born to be reconciled unto my Maker and my Creator. Oh, in that church, when they may be in union with that blessed Son of God, then they are brought into union with the Father, and he will give, and he does give, unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Congregation, let us sing. And afterwards, we ask the congregants to return to their seats. We'll sing from Psalter number 53, stanzas 1 and 3 through 5. The Lord's my shepherd. I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, in the quiet waters by 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 53.
He makes me die.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, as so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us and thine only begotten Son, and for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us now close with the singing of Psalter 439, stanzas 1 and 2. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart, though paths of saints are fraught with evil. 1 and 2 of 439. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.